How y'all doing? Is it a pretty day or what? Pretty couple days. I used to love summer. I'll just take this right here. This will be fine. The most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this glorious opportunity you've given me, Lord, and I just ask you to help me to make the most of it. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know that song they're singing, it's pretty much the gospel in a nutshell. You know, Jesus said, come unto me, all of you. I love it. I like the way they camp out on these few things in the Bible and make it look like only a few people can be saved. Jesus said, come unto me, all of you, and I'll give you rest for your souls. You know, there's a lot of preaching about how there's nothing that we can do. But, you know, we have a job to do, and it's to come to God. That's the job that we have. Jesus made it real clear that the gospel is a doing thing. He said, my family are those people that hear the word of God and do it. I mean, there ain't no... It's something that you do. And, you know, I grew up in church, and I grew up with old-fashioned preaching and old-fashioned people. I had a granddaddy that raised 10 kids, and he was a Christian man. And he was serious about the Bible. He was serious about the gospel. And he was serious about people going to heaven. You know, the sweetest thing that I ever heard out of his mouth, he would take the kids to church camp. And he'd come back from church camp with Dustin. He said, that boy got saved. He said, I ain't never seen such conviction in my life. You know, that pleased me at the time, but I didn't think that much of it. But you know, now that he's passed on, that's one of my favorite memories. You know, this is a serious book right here. Life is serious. This is a preparation for eternity. And, you know, we got to be ready for it. And we live in a world full of people that are lost and are going to hell. There ain't no question about it. And, you know, the reason it is because they don't know God. And that's something that happens in a blink. But when it happens, you're changed. The Bible says the person that's saved is a new creature. And you know, I can tell you what my salvation experience was like. I was sitting in the back of the church where I'm comfortable with my mom. And the preacher was preaching just like he always does. And all of a sudden, he was preaching to me. That's called conviction. I was a little kid. He just kept preaching to me. He just kept on preaching to me. Next thing you know, I was going to hell. Now, I want to tell y'all something. When I went in that church, I was headed for hell. There ain't no question about it. You can read the Bible and it will tell you that all have sinned and come short of the kingdom of God. But when I went in there, I was perfectly comfortable with my situation. I felt fine about it. I wasn't scared. I wasn't worried that I was going to hell. I was just wondering how long he was going to preach. Because I just wanted to go home. And whenever he was preaching, the Holy Spirit came to me and he showed me what hell looked like. And he showed me what my heart looked like. He didn't show me that I'd been bad that day. I don't think I had. I mean, I was bad every day, I'm assuming, but I hadn't been bad enough that it got on my radar. The thing of it was, he showed me that I was broken. He showed me that I come from broken people. And I won't ever forget what hell looked like. I was afraid of the dark when I was little. And the only thing that he showed me was dark. But I want to tell y'all something that he showed me there that nobody can see on this earth. He showed me eternity of darkness. That's the thing. When I was sitting there, I was seeing forever darkness. That's all I was seeing. I wasn't seeing anything but darkness. And I want to read y'all this story. See, the Old Testament, they had the Bible. The Old Testament. The Jews had the Bible and it laid out the gospel for you, plain as day. But they had the law to keep and it was a totally different time. But what they thought is because they came from Abraham, they was going to heaven. Now, the key to getting to heaven if you're a Jew is to be Abraham's seed. The Bible makes a big deal about Abraham's seed because Jesus was going to come from Abraham and he was going to spread the gospel throughout the world. And Abraham was going to have children like me forever. And then whenever they die, they live forever. It's a big deal. Abraham's seed is the kingdom of heaven. But the thing is, they didn't understand being born again. Now I want to read y'all this story Jesus told. Now I want you to look at the father Abraham in it. There was a certain rich man. Jesus was talking to the Jews, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. My dad always said it all the time, "How you doing? I'm faring sumptuously." And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And he was desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and they licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died. What's going to happen to all of us? And he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And that something carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Now I want y'all to look at what he said. Father Abraham. He thought he was one of the children. He thought he was going to heaven. He was Abraham's seed. But Abraham, this is the bad part. He said, "Son," see, he came from Abraham's loins. "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from here to you cannot, neither they can pass to us that would come from thence." And then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Now this is a man that's in hell forever. And the only thing he can think about is telling the world not to go to hell. Tell my brothers not to come in here. I've always heard misery loves company, but I think when you're truly miserable, that ain't the case. And he said, "Nay." Abraham said unto him, "They have the Bible." He said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them read the book," he said. "We got a Bible." They had the Old Testament. And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." But he said, "If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." I want to tell y'all something. The Old Testament had such an authority on it that people were converted by the Old Testament and they went to heaven because of the Word in it. But now, in these latter days, God's spoken to us by His Son. This is Jesus talking right here. And I want to tell you something. If we don't listen to Him, if we don't read this Bible, then we don't know what we're doing. You know, I live in a world full of people that get saved all the time. They don't have a clue what's in this Bible. I got saved when I was a kid. And I was a good boy until I left school. I went to Chicago and I don't know who it was that got me on the wrong side. But I lived for 10 years bitter, knowing I was going to hell. And the difference in me and a lost man is I saw what hell looked like. And when the devil convinced me I was going to hell, I was terrified. The Bible says, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Now, the thing is, I went 10 years running from God, running from the Bible, running for. I remember telling Nathan one time, I said, I hate preachers. All they do is come and fuss at you and then they eat off of you. That's where I was. I hated them. I don't want to hear them. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want nothing to do with nothing. I know where I was going because I thought I did the unpardonable sin, and I mean, there wasn't no pardon for it. So I just lived the life of a man knowing he's doomed. I can't tell y'all what it's like to know that you're going to this place of torment. That's the way I lived for 10 years. And you know, I decided one day when I got my fingers cut off, you know, once you're saved, you're in the hands of God. And He will do what He has to do to get your attention. And when I lost my fingers, it was like somebody was holding my hand. Didn't hurt a bit. People, they're always surprised. It did not hurt one bit. It felt like somebody was holding my hand. And I want to tell you, somebody was. And that day, my perfect Father in heaven, He said, you know what, boy, you're going to behave because you're one of my children. And that was the first day that I had any hope for my soul from the time I read that blaspheme the Holy Spirit deal. But you know what? When you spent that many years knowing you're going to hell, you need to know that you know. And probably one of my best memories is the day I cut my fingers off, because that day I felt hope for the first time. But the devil comes back. He don't leave you alone. If you're saved, he wants you sitting in the corner going, oh no, I'm not. If you're lost, he wants you to feel pretty comfortable with the situation you're in, because he's gonna be your buddy. But I just want y'all to understand that I was in a situation where that I needed to know for sure that I'm saved. And when I found out, I was living like a lost man. And there's no way, if you read this book, that I could be saved. So I still need to know that I'm saved. So I started living like a saved man. But you know what? I still didn't know that I was saved. I remember one day I was just tore up about losing my salvation. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go to the bottom and I'm going to talk to God about this. As soon as I get down there, I was on foot. Dad calls me. You need to come up here. I got a cow having a twin and she can't have it. So I got to go all the way to Nina Ridge and pull this calf out. I pulled that calf out and I thought to myself, once you're born, you're born. I got that sucker out there. It was born. They was a calf born on Nina Ridge and it's never going to be unborn. It might die. But it was born. And you know, I still wasn't convinced. I was convinced that day, but I have a lot of days when I wasn't convinced. So what I do is, I start reading this book. And I start listening to sermons on the radio. And I keep reading this book. And I come to stuff that's scary. This book is scary, y'all. If you read this book, it's scary. God, He don't cut no punches. Jesus wants you to know. He said, if your eye offends you, cut it out, pluck it out. My mama told me when I was a boy, she said, if you're angry with your brother without a cause, then you're in danger of hellfire. That's Jesus' words. I'm going to tell you, the word in this book is scary stuff. Who in the world has ever had a brother that didn't want to kill him without a cause? If he won something, or he was right and I was wrong, he'd just look at me and I wanted to kill him. I mean, he's just got that little look like, I won. You just want to kill him. No reason. He was just my brother. I tried to kill him a few times. The thing is, this book, we got to take it. The Bible says read it to them when they're little. Line by line, precept on precept. We got to get this book out. We got to understand it. But there's more to it than that. You can read a book to a child till he's blue in the face. And it's good for him. And it'll ground him in the truth. But the truth is, every one of us have got to go on a soul-searching mission to find out where we're going. That's what we got to do. The Bible says you must be born again. I can tell you, when I got saved, I went from feeling like I had the world on my back to feeling like the whole world was took off my back. Now, I don't know what your experience was like, and everybody's is different. But I'm going to tell you, this is the main thing that I want to hammer home here tonight. If you never felt like for sure, 100%, you was going to hell, I'm afraid you're going to hell. That is the gospel right there. The Holy Spirit convicts you you're going to hell. That's when you do something. You don't go get help when you don't need no help. When I walked in that church that night, I didn't need no help. I wasn't crying. And they, you know, I listen to these preachers. They're really good preachers. They're better preachers than I'll ever be. But they say it's not a feeling. Okay? It's not. And you know, it's just a fact. Do you believe this? Well, I want to tell you, when you believe that you're going to hell, it's a feeling. It's a scary feeling. It's the scariest feeling on the earth. And I think there's people in this church that has been in this church, that's heard the gospel, but they have never took this book out. And they've never said, God, I want You to show me where I'm going. I want You to show me for sure that I'm safe in Your arms. And you know, Jesus didn't give us a whole lot of rules. He said, I'm giving you two commandments. Love God and love each other. That's it. We don't got no rules. I see people when I was young, I'd see somebody with a tattoo on, it's like he's going to hell. Somebody drinks, they're going to hell. You know? I mean, it's a foregone conclusion. I was raised up in a family where you don't do those things, and if you do, you don't got no sense. You know, my daddy always said, no judgment, you're going to hell. Well, you know what? We live in a time where there's just one requirement to go into heaven, and that's to be born again. And if you don't have an experience where you know, and not only that, it's not just an experience. I mean, it's a life. It's a life. I mean, I remember when I was a little bitty boy praying to God. I mean, I've always prayed to Him. I don't know what people do that don't have somebody to talk to when they're by themselves. You know what? When I'm scared, I talk to God. When I'm happy, I talk to God. And whenever I get ready to do a scary job like this, I talk to God a whole lot more. You know, the best thing we can do is get out of our comfort zone and go out there and live a life where we need God. And the best way to do that is get this book out and just try to do what it says. Boy, that's going to get you out of your comfort zone. I can tell you that. We live in a world. I listen to country music if I listen to any. And the coolest thing right now in country music is to talk about the Bible and talk about beer and cuss. You've got to cuss if you talk about the Bible in a country. I mean, basically, 90% of the country songs, they got a cuss word in them. You know, sin is something that everybody wants to make sure that you know you can get by with it. I remember when I was little, and when I got bigger, and then when I got grown, and still yet, there's times when I think, what can I get by with? What can I do that and still be okay? You know, the older I get, it's just like Jesus said, if you know to do good and don't do it, you're going to be beaten with many stripes. If you don't know, you're going to be beaten with a few stripes. If you know that it's wrong, do not do it. Because you're going to be sorry. You're not going to be sorry tomorrow, maybe. You maybe not be sorry 2 months from now. But you're going to be sorry forever. Because it's an eternal thing we're dealing with. And if God leads you to do something, and you do it, oh, you're going to be glad forever. And we just got this little shot on this earth to come to God and get our instructions and do the best we can with them. And then we got to deal with our fears and our problems and all that. And it's a short, short trip. When Dustin got killed, I was 46 years old. I don't give any thought to age. He was so young. You know, the last 10 years have been a blur. And now I'm 57. I'm pushing 60 like you ain't ever seen. I don't know what I'm going to do. But whatever it is, I got to do it right now. You know, the first thing we got to do, the Bible says that whenever we know this book, we're rooted and grounded in love. The first thing I got to know, not from the book, but from experience, is that all things work together for my good. This ain't no trip where it's unplanned. This ain't no trip where things are going to turn out bad. It's just a matter of which side I'm on. And then clinging to the one that knows it all. And you know what? We have got to know that we know that we know. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what it says. That ain't a no feeling deal. The Bible says, work it out with fear and trembling. I encourage you tonight. People die all the time. The preacher here is gone to a funeral. Every time I turn around, yeah, so-and-so died. Fred Day died. Known him all my life. Don't know him no more. He's gone. It happens every time you turn around. And it ain't necessarily 70, 80. It's 40, 50, 20. Tracy told me this morning, I think, somebody riding in a minivan, 5 kids got thrown out and killed. Did them kids know the Lord? If they didn't, they won't ever know Him. All they'll know is that other side. I mean, it's a short trip. And sin don't scare people. I'm going to tell y'all, the only thing that we need to avoid is sin. The only thing that corrupts this earth is sin. The only problem that we have in our life is sin. That's it. And that's the only thing we need to try to avoid. You know, it's crazy how we live in a country where we got so much stuff to occupy us that it's awful easy to put off getting saved. And I want to tell you, if you are saved, you need to make sure. If you ain't saved, you need to make sure. If you think you might be saved, you need to make sure. Everybody, you just got one job from the Son of God, from the mouth of God. You must be born again. What does that mean? How do you know? How are you sure? The Bible says over and over when you read it, be not deceived. Be not deceived. I mean, what if you're wrong? I was doing something the other day and I was right and the guy was wrong. I forget who it was now. That's how important it is. But he said, you was right. I said, what was that? He said, you was right. I said, what was that? Oh, I felt good. Can you imagine what it's going to feel like to be right when we walk into heaven? The Bible says an exceeding entrance. I forget what Peter says, but it's good stuff. It's encouraging stuff. Can you imagine? When you get to the end of this thing, you can't do nothing else. I asked my grandson the other day, he was having trouble. I took him down to Bottoms. I love that place. I said, Lucas, do you know what this life is all about? He looked at me and he said, this is just a chance to make up your mind whether you want to go to heaven or hell. That's good stuff for a kid that don't go to church. That's what it is. This is our chance. Do you know for certain? It don't matter what you get on this earth. Jesus said, what if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul? What does he gain? He's sorry. I'll tell you what, he's sorry he ever got anything. He'd been like a rich young ruler. He'd been like, you know what? I don't want to be rich no more. Just maybe the poor guy at the gate, at the door with sores. I mean, whatever. Just put me out there and let me suffer for a few years. And let me go over there to Father Abraham. The reason I preach this is because I live in a world where people don't talk about conviction no more. And the biggest thing that bothers me about the way we are with our family is whenever my kids got saved, I didn't say nothing to them about it. I was like, good job. But I don't want to mess around in there, you know? You don't want to mess around in somebody's salvation. Leave them alone. That's between them and God. You know what? We need to talk to this. We need to talk to our friends about this. We need to talk to our family about this. We need to talk to ourselves about this. This is the only thing that matters. We've got to know that we're saved. We've got to know that our kids are saved. We've got to know that they realize they are going to hell. It ain't a matter of being bad and hating your brother. I was born ready for hell. I was born just like the rest of this world. We ain't got no chance, and God knows that. And that's why He said, you know what, I'm going to make them a chance. Jesus said over and over, He said, except you be converted, He said, you're going to perish. He said, you got to be born again. I'm going to tell you something. He knows the truth. He is the truth. And He told them people, He said, look here. He said, here they are. They go out here and they're doing miracles. Can you imagine doing miracles? That's awesome stuff. And they came back and they told Him about doing miracles. He said, don't rejoice about that, boys. Just chill out, okay? Just rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the only thing that has real importance. And we got to talk about it more. We got to study. We got to go. If you ain't read this book and read it again, then you're putting yourself in a bad spot. And you're cheating yourself out of knowing a God that loves you to the death. Don't want to do that. We got one shot. I can't tell you how short it is because nobody knows how long we're going to live here. But I'm 57 and it's been short. I sure appreciate y'all coming.